The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everyday MBA, interviews with best-selling authors, innovative thought leaders, and top-shelf executives, all sharing their best techniques and tips that you don't learn in business school. I'm your host, Kevin Crane, and I'm so pleased that you're listening. Our guest today is Stefan Falk. Stefan is an internationally recognized executive coach and human performance expert, working not only with top executives, but also with special ops, teams in the armed forces, and elite and professional athletes. He's a McKinsey & Company alumni, and his leadership and human performance techniques have been developed in continuous cooperation with leading scientists in the fields of neuroscience, behavioral science, and psychology. He's the co-author of the book Neuroleadership, but he's with us today to talk about his new book, Intrinsic Motivation, Learn to Love Your Work and Succeed as Never Before. So, Stefan, welcome to Everyday MBA. Let's talk about the state of motivation today, specifically at work. Millions of people are resigning or quitting quietly, as they say. Why do you believe that is?
Well, I think this is very interesting, Kevin, because up until a few weeks ago, I've never heard about this, you know, quiet quitting. And I'm not sure I truly understand what it is. So if you can sort of explain to me a little bit more. But I mean, I think in general, what I've seen for the past 10, 15, maybe 20 years is that people have a tendency to, you know, complain about their work. And what I find in organization after organization that I go into, either before when I was an executive or now for the past 11 years, but I've been an executive coach, very seldom there is a reason, you know, to actually complain about your work. I think it's also very interesting that if you look at companies, I mean, this concept of employee experience that's been, I think companies been talking about that or investing in that for the past 5-10 years at least. And now lately psychological safety. I have a sense that companies are really serious about, you know, creating an environment where people can flourish and actually enjoy what they're doing. But my sense is that they are not doing it anyway. So I think that that's a little bit part where my book come in. And it's obvious to me, if people are dissatisfied with their work, they're not thinking about their work, you know, in sort of the right way. So that's, I think, you know, so I don't know. I just think that this is a trend that's been ongoing for a long, long time. And it's part, you know, people feel, I mean, I just feel that people feel a little bit entitled, as well as also it's very easy now in today's society to feel like a victim, okay, of whatever you focus on. I don't know if that is an answer, but, you know, that's my perspective on a pretty new phenomenon that I sort of discovered a couple of weeks ago.
Your book is Intrinsic Motivation. I've got two young adult children. Both are in college. My son particularly is in college. He is doing fine, but doesn't love college and sometimes struggles with being motivated to do his homework in subjects that he's not particularly all that in love with. How can we build our intrinsic motivation, even when it's required that we do things that we may not necessarily want to do?
Well, I think the first thing that we all need to realize that, you know, a task or an activity, no matter what it is, basically has no personality. So the task is not like you're going to a departmental meeting or you had to study for a test, and then that task jumps up and say, okay, hi, I'm studying for a task for a test. I'm very boring. Okay, I'm not very motivating. It all starts with how you think about things. And I found, and this is very much based on my own experience, because I had a similar When I was very young, I think up until I was like 10, 11, 12 years old, the only thing in my life that inspired me was playing music. I was hell-bent, almost like obsessed, to become like a professional musician. And I was really good playing the piano. But what happened is that, obviously, you know, that was the only thing in my life. You know, I lived for that. And my grades just went down the drain. And in a moment, I would say, in my life of rare brilliance, a rare moment of brilliance, okay, I just realized that looking ahead and, you know, what are the chances for me becoming sort of a professional musician? I mean, this is way back then, you know, when there were only like a handful of record companies and so forth, and you cannot self-publish music. I just asked myself, what is it that makes playing music so fantastically motivating that I basically live for it? If I can figure out that and maybe then apply that to, for instance, you know, my school and my schoolwork, maybe that's sort of a path forward. And that's what I discovered, that one of the things that made music so fantastic is that I always had an exciting outcome in mind, something I wanted to create, like a beautiful end product or whatever. Okay. And I think that that is the first step. You need to understand that your tasks or activities, they don't have a soul or personality. It's how you think about them that actually makes them motivating or not.
Let's talk about intrinsic motivation in the business world. You're an executive coach. I'm an executive leader. What's your advice for me on how I can improve the motivation of my workers and my colleagues?
Well, I think, and I'm drawing on my own experience now as an executive myself, and also how I guide, you know, some of my clients that have some kind of challenge in this area. And I think there are at least, you know, three things to think about. One thing is obvious, and very few think that people think about that, and that is actually that people need to have some basic knowledge about, for instance, the human mind. I'm talking a little bit about how the human reward system functions. I'm talking a little bit about how the amygdala, the fear system that actually makes us avoid anything that we don't think is rewarding or is a little bit scary, and all these things. And also, at the end of the day, some kind of knowledge around, you know, brain health, because, you know, there are five ways, and brain health is so decisive for your short-term performance, long-term performance, and short-term, like, health, and short-term and long-term health. And so the first thing, I think, is just to give some basic understanding of the human mind and your own psychology. And that sort of transcends your difference in personalities and stuff like that. We're more similar in this space than we are different, okay? The second thing is to also create an expectation that that personal and professional development has to be the key priority. I always said that to the people that were working for me, that that's the number one priority. Because if we really live by that every day and we try to do something better and different every day, reaching our goals will be a non-issue, okay? Because the goals are always beyond what you currently actually are achieving, okay? So that means that in order to achieve the goals, you need to develop. So there needs to be a clear expectation of what is important in this team, in this organization. And then the third thing is, I would say, a set of things within two headlines, which is challenge and support. And the first one when it comes to challenge is that everything everybody works with needs to have a short-term focus. It could be tied to longer-term goals. But for instance, like having weekly short-term objectives. Okay, these are the most important things that I need to achieve this week. So that's very important, because the short-term helps people to develop plans, and plans are extremely important to achieve intrinsic motivation. It's when you follow your plan and you can actually adjust your plan to how it's going for you, that's where you get into this like immersed state, you know, which is intrinsic motivation. And then support has very much to do with In what I did very often was to create peer teams, you know, of my direct reports, that they work two and two on a weekly basis to coach and help each other. Because as a leader, yes, of course, I'm supposed to help my direct reports, you know, to develop and to flourish and to perform. But very often also they can learn a lot from each other, which also de-dramatize the whole area of actually pushing yourself for development. You know, it doesn't, you know, you don't hide that. It becomes out in the open. Okay. So there's but I don't see this as super advanced. It's a handful of things you need to do as a leader in order to create an environment that actually helps people to self-regulate and to become motivated.
Hello, this is Jacob Morgan, author of The Future of Work, and you are listening to Everyday MBA with Kevin Crane.
It's time to reach new customers in a new way, and you can do that when you become a guest on Everyday MBA. Get your subject matter experts heard, or get yourself heard on the show and talk about your ideas and advice. Talk about strategies and tactics that will make a difference in our changing business environment. Find out more at everyday-mba.com/guest. That's everyday-mba.com/guest.
You're listening to Everyday MBA.
We are here with Stefan Falk talking about his book, Intrinsic Motivation, Learn to Love Your Work and Succeed as Never Before. Stefan, how do I learn to love my work? Many folks work their jobs, they go to work, they come back home, they do okay, but they don't love what they do. How do I learn to love my work?
Well, I think, again, it has to do with creating expectations for, you know, what do I actually want to achieve during the day? What do I want to experience during the day? Okay, how can I make, you know, every day exciting? I find one very simple way to start is if you think that you're doing okay, but work is not really exciting. One really smart way to start the process, if you don't want to be too advanced, is basically to promise yourself that you every day when you come home from work, you share at least one or two things during the day that was really exciting, you know, with your family, with your loved ones, and so forth. That's a very, very simple way to do it. And very soon into that process, you start to rewire your brain to actually actively look for these moments where you can easily become excited. That's a really good way to start it, okay? But then you can have more methods around it. But I mean, that's a good start if you're struggling with it.
Do I have to love what I work in order to be happy and successful?
Yes, I think you have to do that. Of course, we can discuss for a long time, you know, what happiness is. But if you look, for instance, to be successful, whatever you want to be successful at, it will entail things that are uncomfortable. Okay? So the human mind has a tendency to basically avoid all these things. Okay? Just even thinking about the uncomfortable things make us sort of live the feeling that we actually would have while we pursued that. Okay? So in order to be successful, you can't be successful by just doing the stuff within, for instance, working to a goal that you enjoy doing. It will be stuff that you need to do that is uncomfortable. And that's why you need to learn how to master your mind to even make those things maybe not lovable, but at least things that you will pursue and feel rewarded for pursuing. And also, when you love doing things, you have a tendency to think more about those things before you actually perform them, which means that you are much better prepared when you perform, and which then leads that you actually perform better. And that gives a sense of accomplishment. And I think a sense of accomplishment is so pivotal to this, like, notion of feeling happy about oneself.
You say in your book, whatever you do, don't let your brain derail you with excuses for not pursuing the success that's rightfully yours. What do you mean by that?
Well, it goes back a little bit to what I said about what needs to be in place in order for a leader, for instance, to help motivate his direct reports. It has to do a little bit with what I call either the mind's pre-configuration or what I call in the book, the inner voice, okay? And I think that the inner voice or the pre-configuration of the mind is very much sort of a result of, you know, evolution, okay? And so if you think about the basic task of the pre-configured mind, it is to keep us alive, okay? And it has basically three strategies of doing that. One is that we should always, you know, conserve energy, because that has been sort of a key survival strategy for human beings, you know, for thousands and thousands of years, because we didn't know when we're going to eat, we didn't know this, and we didn't know when we're going to be engaged in the fight or flight or whatever it is, okay? So it actually makes us a little bit lazy. So if we can get away with the least minimal effort, we have a tendency to do that. So when we are facing something big, some like big challenge, we always, almost automatic, it happens to me too, try to look for an easy way out when we actually should bite the bullet, okay? And then the second one that the inner voice or the pre-configuration has is this like being super risk averse, okay? So even something that smells like a risk, okay, we have a tendency to avoid. So these are like the two main forces, you know, within this inner voice of pre-configuration that constantly tend to derail us when we try to do something that is necessary, but maybe uncomfortable or maybe unknown, so to speak.
I'm so pleased that you're listening, and I hope you don't mind if I take just a moment to let you know a little bit more about me, Kevin Crane, and Crane Communications Group. I'm a writer, editor, and marketing communications consultant, and I've been pleased to be the written voice of some of today's leading brands, all working to create compelling knowledge leadership content for the web, white papers, blogs, social media, you name it. And I'd love to talk with you too about how I can help and make a difference. To find out more, just visit cranegroup.com. That's C-R-A-I-N-E, cranegroup.com. Let's talk soon.
You're listening to Everyday MBA.
We are speaking with Stefan Falk. His book is Intrinsic Motivation, Learn to Love Your Work and Succeed as Never Before. Now, Stefan, can you give us an example of one individual, one organization, or a use case, perhaps, that you feel has been successful using this approach? What did they do? What were the results, and how can we do it too?
Well, the best example I have from an organization that have done it on a large scale is actually my former firm, McKinsey & Company. I think there are many components that basically makes that into, and I mean, you can't survive that organization if you don't find the keys to your intrinsic motivation. Given you know, the complexity of the problems you work on, given the short time frames you have to solve these problems, and that you always are facing challenges that is beyond your current skill levels, okay, that's a no-go. So I think that McKinsey is probably, from what I know, and I know quite many organizations in the business world, one of the few that has been, you know, and still are, you know, still is, you know, successful in this area.
Stefan, we have reached the action item round of the show. I'm wondering if you could please provide us with three quick action items that our listeners can do to begin to take advantage of the ideas and advice in your book.
Well, the first one is just simply from tomorrow or from right now, stop participating in negative talk at work. Okay. Negativity and negative talk is just like pollution for your brain. Okay. So stop doing that, whether it's like, you know, bad mouthing, you know, a person not present, whether it's like, you know, being super negative about decisions taken by people beyond your area of responsibility, whatever it is. Don't do it. Don't participate. Don't let those thoughts get into your head. Okay. Number two, don't ever feel like a victim. Be a detective. If someone is mean to you or things don't go your way, whatever, okay, don't be carried away by your emotional intoxication, okay, and start to feel sorry for yourself. Take a step back. and look at why did this really happen. If you do that 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, okay, your brain starts to accommodate that type of thinking. And that's a big, big key in order to unlock your intrinsic motivation. And the third thing is to always have a daily goal, something that you every day try to do that is new, different, you know, change, you know, how you perform a task, perform a new task, learn something new about the person that you interact with, learn, get to know a new person or whatever. Something every day that you feel pushes you out of your comfort zone.
Well, Stefan, it's been great speaking with you today. We're almost out of time, but before I let you go, one last question. You've given us some great advice here today, but what was the best piece of advice that you ever received, and how has it shaped who you are?
I think the best ever advice I've gotten, and I actually got a few from this person, was a senior partner at McKinsey when I was at McKinsey. And he said to me, of all the things he said to me, was that, remember this, Stefan, that a person should have more energy after he or she has met you than he or she had before, you know, he or she met you, okay? And I think that that is such a transformational, you know, like thing to live by. It basically, you know, makes me focus on trying to understand the person, trying to understand where the person coming from, the starting point, the mental, you know, whatever. So it's fantastic. And if all people would have that type of principle, I just think that we would have a better world. But it's completely shaped, you know, everything I've done in my life, at least in my professional life.
That is Stefan Falk. Get his book, Intrinsic Motivation, Learn to Love Your Work and Succeed as Never Before. Stefan, thank you so much for being our guest today on Everyday MBA.
Thank you very much, Kevin. This has been my pleasure.
That'll do it for this episode of Everyday MBA. And do you want to be a guest on the show? It could happen. Join our Knowledge Leadership Circle and be featured in an interview of your own. Be a guest. Just go to everyday-mba.com/guest for more information. That's everyday-mba.com/guest.